I was like, I know the Bible talks about fasting. I went on a 3-day fast. I had nothing but water, and I prayed, and I sought God with all my heart. And I'm telling you, God always comes through. I heard his voice. He said, things aren't right here, and he said, go to church.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Winning the battle. I'm going to share a little testimony so you understand where I'm coming from and some of the battles I've been through, and they're never over, but the fight continues. But God is doing a good work in me, and I know he's doing a good work in you too. And the Bible says it'll continue. It never ends until we go to glory, and that's what I'm really excited about, getting to heaven. That's going to be a great thing. My background is I grew up, my parents were born in La Trobe Hospital, so was I. We're all from this area. And my parents got married young, and they were wild, and I came along. I don't think it was that planned. But I came along, and a lot of things happened in my childhood, I think, affected me. And but God's brought me through all those things. But I would even say, when we were one, I know our house burned down, okay? Okay, that happens. But by the time I was 5, my parents were not getting along, and they were fighting. And I know one time this friend of my dad's was over, and they were partying. And I was innocent. I didn't know nothing. But they were chopping up my toy blocks for the fire. Well, what did a kid do? I reached out, and my finger caught my finger really bad, really bad. So it's crooked, it's not right, okay? But one of those things in life that you have to learn to live with, okay? And then that year, I believe it was the same year, they got divorced. I hate divorce. I'm telling you, it affects your kids. It affects everything. I hate to hear it. Every time I hear about our divorce rate in this country, it makes me so sad. And I'm guilty of it myself, so I'm not being a hypocrite here. It's just so sad, and I feel really bad for all the bad things that happened. So anyway, I'm not going to drag us out. So I lived with my mom, and my mom lived on government, you know, funds, and we moved here, we moved there. And when you have this kind of childhood, you don't really function that well. And I'm not making excuses, but I wasn't doing so good. And this is really embarrassing, but I'm willing to share it with you. I failed second grade right in Ligonier here. You know, I can't tell you why, but I did terrible in school. Sixth grade, oh my gosh, I had so many E's. I don't know how my mom talked them into passing me, but I think I know why. I think she made an agreement, because then in seventh grade, I started in some special ed classes. Okay? Now, this was all, the devil has a plan for your life. That's what you got to understand. He wants to tear you down and destroy you, and he was doing that and working in my life from a young age. Okay, I was picked on, I wasn't popular, you know, like I said, my mother didn't have much money, so we wore a lot of stuff from Goodwill, and you know, that's all fine. And then, so when I was in seventh grade, I moved back with my dad, okay? So now I'm living with my dad. Now, my dad had a stable life. My mom, we were always moving, going to, you know, she became a Christian, so we did go to some churches, but I didn't really pay much attention to that at that age, you know, unfortunately. But I know God did touch my heart in some services, but I just didn't really run with it. I wish I would have. So anyway, I get into high school, and I'm living with my dad, and we don't go to church. And so, you know, I'm just trying to get by, you know. I don't even know if God has a purpose in my life. I don't know. So I'm just going to do what everyone else wants to do. So starts like anything else. You get your hands on some cigarettes when you're a teenager, you know. And then the next thing you know, you're trying to get some beer, sneaking beer out of your dad's refrigerator, or sneaking some beer here and there. And the next thing you know, I'm starting to do drugs. Doing drugs, drinking. The only peace, I was like, man, that was the only peace I ever really had. It was a false peace from the devil, but it was peace. And it was fun, and I didn't see what was wrong with it. I didn't know any better. So I just started doing a lot of drugs, and I got out of high school, and I just started working, like we all do. And meanwhile, God has a plan for my life, but I'm just doing whatever the heck I want. So then I started getting trouble with the law. And that's not a bad thing, because that kind of wakes you up sometimes. I needed that. I got arrested for drugs a few times, got this trouble, that trouble. By the time I was about 24, I was starting to see that I was really turning out to be a rotten person. And I was starting to really hang out with some people that were pretty rotten. I'm like, if I'm hanging out with these people, I must be the same way. I mean, why am I lying to myself? And I was pretty miserable. I couldn't stop doing drugs and drinking and partying. And so finally I got the DUI, and that was the end of the straw. I was like so sick of it. And I was just like tired of just getting in trouble, being a loser. Everything I did in life, I failed. I had to do a lot of cheating to get through school. I didn't think twice about lying or stealing. So one day I'm at my house, I'm in my room, and I go on my knees in my bedroom and I start crying out to God, Lord, I'm so sick of this life. What's the point of being miserable all my life and then dying? I don't know if I was really serious about thinking about killing myself, but the logic was, if you're going to die anyway, why drag it out? If you're going to die anyway, why do you go through all the suffering first? So I was just crying out to God. I knew I did a lot of bad things. I was repenting. And something amazing happened. The presence of God showed up in my room. And I felt the burden of my sins. I felt all those burdens just supernaturally get lifted off. I felt the joy of the Lord come in, and it just hit me. God is real. He really cares about me. Nobody else was there for me. Nobody else. Not my parents, not my friends. The Lord was there for me. Glory to God. So at that moment, I said, okay, now I know. Now I know He loves me. He cares. I should have known this before. I'm giving my life all the way. Now, believe me, every time I was in trouble with the law, I prayed. But I wasn't really that serious about it. I just wanted to get out of trouble so I could keep going on my way and not go through all that. But so, okay, now I'm safe. So the next thing you know, the friends are calling. Okay, let's hang out. Guys, I'm sorry, but you want to go fishing? Is there going to be beer there? Yeah. Weed, drugs? Yeah. I can't do that anymore. I'm a Christian now. I can't do that. I said, the Lord saved me. I had this supernatural thing happen to me. I said, I don't want to be around it because I don't think I can take the temptation. Why don't you think about reading your Bible and stuff? And all of a sudden, I didn't have any friends anymore. It was amazing. But I'm just telling you, it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth just devoting my life to the Lord. But the devil is out to get us. I mean, we don't have to live in fear, but he knows you. He's been deceiving people for thousands of years. So what's he do? He figures out a way to snag me up again. Some relatives of mine, my mother particularly, who I love, she really got kind of off track in my mind, and she got together with this guy, and so they tell me, Kevin, the churches in this country are corrupt. You cannot go to church now. You got saved because we were praying for you. You need to start coming here for church, to our house, okay? Okay, I mean, I don't know any better. I might be a Christian now, but I don't know nothing from nothing. So I start going over there, and the devil used them to use me for money and everything else. And about a year goes by, and they're still casting demons out of me every day or every time I see him, whatever. And it was just like they're out there. They're really out there. And I'm like, Lord, I'm more miserable now than when I was doing drugs. At least I had a couple hours of peace until I came off my high. I said, this is awful. And I was like, okay, what do I do? I was like, I know the Bible talks about fasting. I went on a 3-day fast. I had nothing but water, and I prayed, and I sought God with all my heart. And I'm telling you, God always comes through. I heard his voice. He said, things aren't right here, and he said, go to church. I heard it so clear, it wasn't even funny. And then he even confirmed it, because I was driving for work. I would drive around and pick up samples of concrete. And I knew I had a Christian, my mom had a cousin that was a Christian that lived in West Newton. So I was going through there, and I thought, I ought to try to get a hold of this lady. I need somebody to talk to, okay? Because it was just me and my mind and God and the devil, and it's all up here. The battle's in the mind, and I'm like, I really just need to talk to somebody. So I drive down there, and I'm scared. I was so nervous. I was like, I can't just go knock on this lady's door. I drive down. I turn on the road that I knew she lived on. I hadn't seen her in probably like 10 years or more. And sure enough, as I'm driving by, she's walking out of her house to her car right when I drove by. It was a total miracle because I was not going to actually stop. I was just kind of like testing the waters. I was just like, I knew what I wanted to do, but we don't always do what we want to or we should, right? We end up doing the opposite sometimes. She came out and ministered to me and everything, and it was a real miracle. So thank the Lord. So praise God. I started going to a church. It was a bigger one. It was a decent church. And so I was starting to get on the right track, but I wasn't getting any real discipleship. So I was still really, I was so messed up from my childhood. I was so messed up from all the bad things I did, because there's consequences to our sins. You don't get saved and everything's great. That's not what happened to me. That's the false gospel. You get saved, you get the joy of the Lord, you get deliverance, but I'm telling you, there's battles to fight. So what happens now? The devil's got to get me. He wants me. So I'm at work, and I'm like talking to this guy. I said, yeah, I said, I'd like to meet a girl now. You know what I mean? I'm a Christian going to church. Well, sure enough, I get on the internet, and guess what happens? The wrong one shows up right away. The very first one, probably, I think it was. So long story short, we get married right away, and it's a total disaster. Not God at all. I wish I would have known better. I wish somebody would have told me and helped me out, like, because I was totally blind, okay? I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But you know what? God turned that around for good, too. And even though I tried to make that work, because God does not want us to get divorced even when we make the wrong decisions, it didn't work out. So here I am now, around about 30 years old. Everything I've ever done in my life has been a complete failure. I'm like totally run down. You know, divorce is an awful thing. That was a long, dragged out, painful, painful thing. And so I'm just like, being a Christian isn't that easy, because I mean, I was a Christian probably for about 5 or 6 years now. And I have nothing to show for it, about $30,000 in credit card debt. And I'm all screwed up. But you know what? It's never too late to get right, and God never forsook me. God never forsook me. Okay, so here I am praying again. Now, in the meantime, just to back up a little bit, through prayer, God landed me here in Living Hope Church. Thank you, Lord. Because this church, Pastor Keith, wasn't afraid to preach the truth, even if it offended people. Not only would he preach the truth, but he said, Kevin, what can I do for you? You know, at the big church I went to, you didn't get time with the senior pastor. Or it was even hard to get together with the lower pastors. But Pastor Keith took the time to love me, nurture me, disciple me, and so did the life group leaders. It wasn't just the one, it was the leadership team at that time, which this team that we have here today will do the same for anyone. And the Lord brought me through that, and I learned a lot out of all that. So whatever you're going through, God can bring you through it. God can deliver you. Not everybody's been through what I've been through. Some of you have been through much worse. But I want you to know that God will never leave you or forsake you. And I want to share a few scriptures with you that really brought me through these times, I think will be a blessing to you. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. In other words, when you really mean it, because I prayed a lot of prayers through my life, but when you really mean it and you really seek after God, he will be there. Jeremiah was writing this letter to the captives. God has a plan for your life, and it is for good. And it's important that you know that. And if you already know that, maybe you need reminded. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. It's a little bit of a theme here, crying out to God, calling out to God. Okay? Sometimes you have to press in. Sometimes you have to spend time on your knees. Sometimes you have to crucify your flesh a little bit. Show God you really mean it. There's a spiritual battle that you can't see in the spiritual realm. 2 Chronicles 26:5. This is the verse that I've really made a life verse for myself here. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of visions. That's the first part. This is talking about King Uzziah. And you can go back and read the context. It's a great story. But the part that I've really meant a lot to me here was the last part of this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And that's not talking about just money. That's talking about your soul. That's talking about winning the battle to be free, to live holy as God called us to live holy, to execute the vision God's put in our hearts. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Don't ever forget about that. Because once you get to a place in your life where you think you don't have to seek the Lord anymore, the devil's waiting for you. Believe me. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. He will. He will if you trust him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. These are God's oath. He swears this. He doesn't lie. Trust him and acknowledge him in all your ways. These are some of the scriptures that brought me through those hard times where I just was ready to go to heaven. I really was. It was just, there's times in your life where only God can help you. But that's a good thing. He will help you. So I want to go over some things about winning the battle and share some things with you, because we're all in a battle. I don't know what your battle is, or maybe you're not in one, but you will be. It seems like the devil, the more you want to do God's work, the more he's going to want to fight with you. Because he does not want souls to get saved. I was going to hell. And I remember many nights I could have overdosed on drugs or crashed in a car. I was seeing double driving out there. I could have killed somebody. But it didn't happen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. There's consequences when we live for ourselves. When you submit and obey the Lord and your heart's humble, these are some of the things that we need to exercise to win this battle. His word, his holy word. When the temptation and the devil comes, when my flesh rises up, it's not even always the devil, it can be my flesh, it's a sin nature. You need that word to just pop into your mind. And it will if you're reading it, if you're memorizing it, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to bring to help you. The word is critical. Let's take a look at John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believe him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You want to win the battle, you got to know the truth about the situation you're fighting. You got to know what the truth is, what the word says, what God has to say. If you abide in me, if you continue to be my disciple, you will know the truth. But you have to continue. You can't give up in the fight. You can't give up on your marriage. You can't give up on the vision God gave to you for ministry. You can't give up on your kids. I mean, there's people I've been praying for since the day I got saved. It's going to happen in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to give up. Okay? Don't ever give up. You'll grow weary sometimes, but don't give up. We need the Word. We need the Holy Spirit. Some people miss this, but the Holy Spirit is a person, a being. Jesus said, if I leave, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. That's better for you, because He could be with you all the time. Jesus was in the flesh. He was in one spot at one time. God gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift from God to invite Him into our life every day. Holy Spirit, what's the Father want me to do today? Help me to remember to pray for this person. Help me to overcome this battle today. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Speak to me. And a lot of times it's that small, still voice inside, and you'll hear it. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He is the power of God. That's the grace. That's the power. Remember, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He started doing the miracles. And you'll see in the Old Testament, God was putting the Holy Spirit on King David and a lot of these guys. That's when they had the power to do what they did. What's the scripture say? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, you've lost that grace. You've lost that gift. Another thing that can really be great in the battle is a revelation. Sometimes you need to hear from God. A revelation, not just the written word, but you need to hear something very specific to your situation. That can come through prayer and fasting. I told you, I got a revelation from God about the situation I was in when I wasn't going to church as a Christian. Sometimes it's a prophetic minister. That opportunity comes. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss that opportunity. And it goes without, I'm not going to preach on this, but worship, man. Oh, don't give up on that worship. Just sing to Jesus. Sing to Him, okay? It invites the Spirit of God. It does. We're not too high for fighting battles. Even Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, one of the greatest men of God that we know of in history. A man that wanted to kill Christians and put them in jail, who God had a miraculous conversion, preaching and winning souls, planting churches all around the area. Even he had to fight battles. Even he was struggling to do the things that were right. Let's take a look at that and just see what he had to say about when he was writing to the Romans. Romans 7:15. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that's what I end up doing. That version's a little... There's probably some better versions of how that could be worded. But the things he knew to do, he kept falling short. He was struggling. And he doesn't say particularly what he's talking about here, but I can imagine some things that I struggle with, even just to crucify my flesh and read the Bible every day, or to resist temptations of sin. Romans 7:19, he says it again. For the good that I want to do, I don't do it, but the evil I will not do that I practice. So, if Paul was battling, and if we do a little study in the scripture, we see all the men of God had the battle. And a lot of the battle I'm talking about really is in the mind and heart. It really is. It's a spiritual battle. I fight it all the time. But what I'm saying is, to win the battle is to get free. Free to bring glory to God in your life. Because if you're not free, you're limited as to what you can do. And there's souls on the line. Your children might be on the line. There's collateral damage when you're not free. Because you're definitely not going to speak against something you yourself are guilty of. I guarantee you that's why my dad never said a word about what I was doing. Because he wasn't crazy like me. He had already grown out of that, but my dad, I know, to drink a daily. So he was never going to say nothing about my drinking. He couldn't. When you're not free, you can't help people. It really ties your hands. And God wants us to be his ambassadors, the Bible says, for Christ, to take the good news. There's a lot of hurting people out there in this town of La Trobe, all the way to Nicaragua, all the way to the Middle East, all around the world. People don't even know that God loves them and has a purpose for their life. They don't know it. That set me free when I understood God had a plan for my life. When I had value, I didn't know how much God loved me. And I'll tell you, if you're listening to what they're teaching in school, you don't have any value. You're just an accident. And I hate that teaching because you have no worth. It's really hurting the young people when they think they're just an accident. You're not an accident. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan, and he loves you. He loves you. That's why Christ died for you. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to die for you. He could have just stayed up in heaven. Heaven, I know it's going to be great because God never lies. And there's some really great descriptions in the Bible about it. So one of the things I like to share with people is my walk with God. I'm not going to lower myself. There's a teaching I believe is a false teaching, is that you got to lower yourself to be like other people to win them to the Lord. And what I'm saying is, I don't believe that. I'm not going to do what the wicked are doing to try to blend in and be popular and then try to win them to the Lord that way. I don't believe that. Jesus hung out with the sinners, but he influenced them and he preached to them. And I believe we should be doing that. But I'm not going to hang out at the bar or hang out at parties to blend in and then expect those people to hear me when I say they need Jesus or that there's their souls in jeopardy because without Christ we can't get into heaven and there is hell fire waiting. I don't believe that teaching. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Like I said, I have a love for everybody because I've was on the path to hell. I know what it's all about. I've done the Bible studies at the Union Mission because those people needed help, and I had a love for them, but I wasn't like wanting to hang out with them and go do the things and then strengthen the devil's hold on them and by hanging out with them and doing wickedness. But I did hang out with them. I do love sinner. I love everybody. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian. I don't care about that because the love of God is in my heart. And every soul is precious and value in his sight. And God sees you for what his plan is for your life. He can see that in your life. He doesn't see the strongholds in your life. He wants to set you free. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw what could be. He wants to redeem us. He wants to. And many of us are in the process right now, and it's great. So what battle are you in? Lust? I know that's a big one because it's at the checkout. It's popping up on your computer. It's everywhere. It's in the commercials. It's a battle. What about fear of failure? What about that one? That was a big one for me. Huge. Well, these were all big ones for me. So, but even guilt and hurt. What about addiction? These are some of the ones I want to touch on. There's many, many more out there. But these are the ones I felt in my heart that I would touch on in this sermon. And I know God's going to speak to some of you about these things. But like I said, winning the battles is not so that we can have the best day today, as Pastor Doug says and some other preachers say. It's for the glory of God so that we can be vessels of honor for him. He says, be holy as I'm holy. You know, I don't mind suffering. I don't mind fighting the battles. I don't mind. I mean, there's Christians all around the world. They're being killed for the gospel. I don't think they really mind because they're in the battle and they know what the reward is. But what I don't like is when I'm suffering because of my own stupid mistakes. Because the devil tricked me into doing something really stupid. That's what I don't like. Why should we be fighting with the devil on these things? God's got a plan. He's got a mission for us. And here we're stumbling. And unfortunately, some people, they stumble over the same stumbling block day after day, year after year. It's never too late to get free. Just hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to you today. Maybe there's something here for you. But what I'd say about lust, the truth about lust is you can overcome it with the Word of God. If you know the truth will set you free. When you, I'm going to speak more towards the guys because that's how I can relate, and probably that's probably where more people have a stronghold. But this is for the women too. But when you see a woman, if you see her as your brother, since the Lord says we're brothers, as your brother's daughter, and you understand your role as a man to protect women and children, you're not going to want to lust. You're not going to want to do the things that might be coming to your mind to do, to imagine, or to do, if you see her as a gift from God, not as an idol, not as a sex object, but as a precious gift from God. Every woman is to be protected and loved and treated as such, as God's daughter. If you're viewing women that way, it's going to be hard for the devil to win. It's going to be hard for you to fall into pornography, because pornography is massive in this country. People are falling for it, and I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It's not worth letting the devil into your life to look at pornography. It's not worth it. God put it on my heart years ago to fight pornography, and I was glad, and it actually helped me in my own battles, because the more you fight, the more you learn about the truth. So we started protesting at the La Trobe adult bookstore, and I started this website, and we were posting things, and we had a blog, some other guys and me, and we were down there evangelizing to the strippers and to the guys going in and out. And the more I talked to people and they would ask me questions, the more I go to the scripture and I start to get more and more truth about it. And pornography is not innocent. There is collateral damage. And I'll never forget this testimony I read about this girl. She was very open. She said she had gotten delivered out of pornography. She said it was the worst thing she'd ever been in. She said it was so painful, physically and emotionally, that her and the girls would have to go out and do drugs just to overcome all that, to go back in and perform again. It's not what you see in the magazine where everything's lovely. These girls don't want it. They're just trying to survive. They've been deceived by the enemy, and they need our help. They need our help. And we can't be fueling that industry with our money. And we can't be letting the enemy into our soul. And she said it was so awful. She said she was so ashamed. And she said it was just awful. She said every time that she had to perform for some money, she left there and she didn't know if she had picked up a disease. She doesn't know who this guy was with yesterday. Every day was a risk. Every day she could have done too many drugs. She could have picked up a disease. All this for a little bit of money. Where are the men of God in this country? Why are we allowing this crap to go on? Why? It's awful. Pornography is straight from hell. And I'm just saying, we got to get free if we're involved in that. Okay? Second Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. I know one thing that helped me when temptation comes on. Hey, this thought's not from God. I'm just going to pray for this girl. Pray for salvation. Now I'm right back into the Spirit. The temptation's gone. I'm not even thinking about it. That's a very practical way to resist the temptation of lust. We got to take our thoughts captive. What about the fear of failure? That's that one. I told you I was a failure. Everything I ever did, all the way up to like I was 30 years old. I mean, I had nothing to show for it but a lot of debt. I was pretty embarrassed. I was pretty run down. But God can turn it around. You know what? When you get involved in church and when you start submitting to the authority in the church and getting help and serving, these things just start to, they just start to fade, all your problems. I like to read the Voice of the Martyrs because when I'm at work or I'm somewhere and I got problems and I read that magazine and I see these Christians being shot at and beheaded, my problems all of a sudden vanish. It's amazing. Like I was, you know, I'm judging this person or I'm fighting this and all of a sudden my problems are gone. I tried to pass that wisdom on to some coworkers of mine who are in a state of depression all the time and everything's hell in a handbasket. I hope they start looking into that because what goes in comes out. If you're just watching the news all day long, it's all bad and then it's coming out of you and you're bringing everybody else down. That's true. Think about that. You're not edifying anybody, but if you get into the Word, you could edify some people, I'm telling you. You give some glory to God. The Holy Spirit's our helper. I'll tell you what, I overcome a lot of fears. One was a change of my job. I got with this company, I was 19. I was there for 12 and a half years, but I was encouraged by some brothers in the Lord to take a chance to put my resume in for this other job. And I was so scared. I'm not even joking. But I did it, and I got the job. And I needed that job because when I got remarried to my beautiful wife, Melissa, we needed money because I didn't make very much money. Even getting remarried was a step of faith. But I'll never forget this. I went to Guatemala on a missions trip, and the Brother Bart was the missionary, and he said, "You're going to preach. Everyone's going to preach." Well, I didn't want to preach. We went down to build. We weren't down there to preach. I never preached. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. I was so scared. But I just said yes. I just said yes, and I just did it. And as I was preaching, I don't even really remember what I was saying. I was just preaching. And I felt the presence of God come on me. I felt this divine peace. And I was like, afterwards, I thought, wow. That's awesome when you step out in faith that God's there. I was really amazed. And I thought, I'm going to try to do something here. When the spirit of fear comes on me, if I know it's something God wants me to do, I'm just going to do it. I'm not talking about the kind of fear like if you're walking on the edge of a cliff. That's a good natural fear. You shouldn't do that. But I'm talking about a spirit of fear. You know what. You know that what you're thinking of doing or you were asked to do is good, but you're scared. Just start thinking like that. Well, why would I have this spirit of fear on me like this? Why am I so scared? Maybe the devil's trying to stop me. Maybe he is. Let's take a look at 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. And I've had a lot of that. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The love of God will give you, that's a weapon that you have. The love of God in your heart. The love of God in your heart. When you see the mission is a labor of love for God. When you see the mission, it's always about people to God's glory. The love will give you the strength to overcome your fears, whatever fear you are dealing with. What about guilt and hurt? Well, God can deliver you of that too. Guilt and hurt. I know when I went through my first divorce, I had a lot of that. I had a lot of that from all kinds of stuff, to be honest. And maybe you have too. Maybe some of you can relate. But I was praying one day, and I got a revelation. Remember I said revelation is something that can really be empowering to your walk with God and getting victory in the battle. It just hit me because I was doing a lot of gossip about the things I'd been through and putting a lot of blame on somebody. Right or wrong, God spoke to me about it, and this is how I got free. He said, with the word of revelation, he said, you're the man, you're responsible. And it never hit me before. I was the responsible party. God calls you men to be the responsible party for your marriage, for your children, for your life, for your household. God put the responsibility on you. You're not more valuable than your wife. God loves you the same, but you have a responsibility. And when you take responsibility for the things God's given you, now you can start getting focused on where the focus should be, on yourself, and stop blaming other people. That set me free. That set me free. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I'm very thankful. God's brought me through a lot of things. God can deliver you of guilt and hurt. Think about the pain Peter must have felt. He said right to Jesus' face, I will never deny you. I'll never leave you. He had a sword there. He's ready to fight to the death. He swore right to Jesus' face. And then what happened? He ran off when the soldiers showed up. He did a little fighting at first, but he ran off. And not only did he lie to Jesus that he would stay there, but then he went on, and one lie leads to another. Then he went and lied about, oh, no, I'm not with him, because he was following Jesus. He lied. I can only imagine that had to hurt, because I know it hurts when you lie to someone you love, and then you wish you had never done that. But Jesus lying to his face. But when Jesus rose from the grave and came back, guess what? He never brought it up. Jesus forgave Peter. And he forgave Peter, healed Peter. Peter went on to be a great minister. He didn't let the guilt and the shame and the pain of that battle. He lost that battle. We all win some, we all lose some. He lost that battle, but he was redeemed. He got the victory in the end. God wants us to have the victory over every stronghold of the devil in our life. And maybe you're like super free and you're like, I don't really. Well, maybe there's someone you know that needs to hear some of these things. Maybe you need to share with somebody about the love of God and about how he can forgive and heal. Okay? How about Romans 5:8? Let's take a look at this. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. He loves you. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He went all the way, didn't he? I don't see why we shouldn't consider doing the same for him. Life's short. Today actually could be your last day here. I mean, you never know. As a matter of fact, I just had a coworker pass away just like about a week ago. He seemed fine. He had just turned 45. All of a sudden, I was the supervisor, but then my manager said, hey, Tom went to the doctor. He's off today. Oh, okay. Oh, he's in the ICU now. What? He's got a real bad pneumonia. Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't sound like it should kill him, pneumonia. Well, he was in there for 3 weeks, and then he passed away last week. And I thought, wow, my last words to him, I texted him and said, would you please stop getting sick, you and Dave? I was joking. He knew that. But that I was like, man, that was my last words to him. You just never know. You just never know. Because him and a coworker kept getting sick back and forth, and it was kind of an inside joke at the time. But, all right, what about addiction? Addiction, I fought that one off. Yeah, that's a never-ending battle too, but there's collateral damage when you have addiction in your life, especially when it's drugs, alcohol, and these kinds of things. It could be anything, but it's not innocent. Other people are affected. I know my parents partying affected me, and I know I affected other people in a bad way. I was rotten. I don't know how else to describe it. I was rotten, but I can tell you I was a bad influence. But I know one of my friends, he was partying. He fell out a four-story window, and he was, like, semi-paralyzed. I think it was three or four-story, but let me tell you, his life was never the same. All because he was just having fun. He just was innocent. Another friend of mine, his name was Chris, he was starting to get a soft heart, but he did so much partying, and he could not get free. And I was witnessing to him. I shared what the Lord did with me, and he was kind of receiving it, but he just couldn't break free. He just couldn't break free. And then he had a stroke, and all these bad things kept happening to him. He kept getting arrested, and because of what the devil did through his addiction, he never got married. He never had kids. And then before he was even 40, he ended up overdosing on drugs on purpose because he told his mother, he said some things to his mother that kind of tipped her off that he was, and he was sorry for his sins, and I'd like to think he made it to heaven. Only God knows that, but that's what can happen. It can take you too far. I want to share that this is an amazing story, but this hit me hard. I know I had there was this life group leader that liked to have a beer on occasion. And I'm not preaching against social drinking because it's not in the Bible, but I have a personal conviction I don't ever drink anything. But I'm not condemning anyone that does. He liked to have a social drink once in a while. Well, we had this new guy in the group who was getting delivered, he was delivered of drug and alcohol. One day he come over to the life group leader's house. And, you know, if you were sitting there having some beers, it would be kind of customary to offer one. So this guy did that, and guess what happened? I went over, I said, what's up? He's like, Kevin, I can't believe what I did. He said I was having a beer, and I offered it to this guy, and now he's gone. We never saw that guy again. There's consequences to obeying to what the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. And that's just one of the stories I just never forgot that, because the Bible says if it offends your brother to eat meat, don't eat it. Don't eat the meat. So life is not about us. If we put others before ourselves, the first will be last and the last will be first. So if you feel guilty, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but if it's the Lord, that's between you and him. But I want you to know that God can give us victory to the battles we're fighting. And there's rewards to getting victory, and there's souls on the line. And it means a lot to the people that God wants to use you to help. It means a lot to them. And thank God there were people that had responded to the gospel and then helped me. And now I want to use my life experiences to bless and help others, because I'm grateful for what God did for me. I'm very, very grateful. As I said, God has a plan for your life, and so does the devil. Okay, let's take a look at something. I want you to remember this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That one I don't think is going to make the screen. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will make a way. God will make a way. Don't let the devil deceive you that you can't do it. You can with God. With God, you can do it, with his grace and his power in your life. Someone once told me, God always gives you enough grace for one day. This really helped me one time. He always gives you enough grace for one day, and when you can't take it anymore and you're at the end of it, just go to sleep, and then tomorrow you'll have a new grace. Just go to sleep. And I did that. I've done that many times. I was like, man, that's really smart. I'm telling you, it's just amazing what God can do when you got people of God speaking into your life. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth, and you'll win the battle. Let the Word of God get into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Let him have his way. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And winning, it's a battle. If you were a soldier, you would have to train. You would have to fight. If you were in athletics, you would have to train and you would have to run. Okay? I just ask God every day to help me to do what I need to do to fight and win. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Remember the blind man in Luke 19? Jesus was passing by, and he cried out, "Jesus, help me." And they're like, "Shut up, shut up. Leave him alone, blind piece of crap," you know? No. They were treating him like a piece of garbage because he was blind and he was obviously poor. But you know what? He didn't let the devil have it. He didn't let those people have their way. He cried out all the more. He cried out all the louder, "Jesus! Jesus!" And guess what? Jesus, after he cried out all the louder, came over and touched and healed his blind eyes. Cry out. Cry out. Well, I want to share a little something with you. I was talking to you about Revelation. I want to read something to you. I keep all my prophetic words. I got a whole list here from 2002. Because when God speaks to you, I don't take it lightly. I don't think we should take it lightly when God speaks to us. And I got this prophetic word, and I wanted to read this piece to you. There's a hurt from when you were five. These people don't know who I am. I never met them before. I just was down at this church in Orlando, at the Pastor Joe's church, and they were doing this prophetic ministry. They never met any of them. There's a hurt from when you were 5 years old that caused you to be a nonchalant person, and that's the way you got along in life, and you don't have to deal with it. I heard God say he wants you to deal with it. With those things, and he's going to renew these things, like he said earlier. There's things that are hidden he wants you to deal with and take care of. He wants you to do it because he has a plan to use you. He has a vision for you. God says you forgive those people who hurt you. I don't know who needed to hear that, but we were talking about what God can do in our life. And even if we're dealing with hurt and guilt. And there's things that could be there from our childhood. But sometimes God calls us to deal with things. And if God's calling you to deal with some things, do it. Just do it. And we're here to help. Pastor Doug, Miss Paula, and the leadership here. They got the Celebrate Recovery. They got all these great things going on here. Maybe you know somebody needs to be involved in one of these things, one of these ministries to get help or to be in serve. But whatever God's calling, speaking to you today to deal with, I'd like to encourage you to do that, to win the battle for the glory of God, for the souls that are going to be helped and saved and encouraged, so that when we take our last breath, God can look at us and say, "Son, daughter, well done. Good job. Thank you for responding to what I asked you to do. Enter into your reward." That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about in the end. Everything we're fighting for with money and these things, it's all going to pass away. Praise the Lord. So as I wrap this up, I'd like to, if anybody here would like prayer, to receive the Lord into their heart, now's a good time. Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father." But maybe, just maybe, you're being called to step out in faith right now. And if that's something you want to do right now, I'd invite you to come up here right now, and I could pray for you, and me and the leaders can pray for you. And it's the best decision you could ever make. And honestly, no pressure. If you can't come up right now, come see me after service if you need to talk, Miss Paula. Okay, don't leave here with carrying heavy burdens today. What's the point of having church if you come and then you leave in the same shape you came in? I could give you a great sermon on, you know, just some great thing about how God loves you and wants to bless you. But God actually wants us to be free. God wants to set us free. So please, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come up right now if you need prayer for anything. And we're after the service. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say a prayer to just bless you guys and send you on our way. We're wrapping up now. Thank you for enduring my long... I'm not somebody that preaches up here on a regular basis, so God brought me through it. I thank God for that. But it's for God's glory. It really is. It's all about Him. Father God, I just want to pray for everyone here today, Lord, that nobody would leave here, Lord, carrying any burdens, Lord, or any battles they're in, Lord. Let them be open to share, Lord, with some leader in the church here today. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them and be with them this week. Cause your face to shine upon each and every one here, Lord. Let any word you had for them, Lord, just water it all week long, Holy Spirit. Just hover over every person here today just to water the seeds and bring them. Lord, I just pray there's going to be testimonies, Lord. Testimonies of what you've done, Lord God, in people's lives this week, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Be blessed. Have a good week. Just glorify the Lord all week long. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Amen. Hey, what's up? Was it?
I don't
know. Oh, okay, good.
Very real and like I think good. People could really relate to. So.
That's good.
Stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.